thank you this morning for this precious moment as we approach your word. You said to us, only one thing is needful, and that is to sit at your feet in order to learn of you. Because you are our shepherd. You came to this earth, Lord Jesus, to gather us to yourself as a people that will walk in the same victory that you came to the earth to purchase for us. And today, we thank you for the word that you are about to share with us, the word that you are about to teach us by the revelation of your Holy Spirit, so that we may have what it takes to walk in all the victory that you have already given to us in yourself. For as it is written, we are more than conquerors through you who has loved us. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to behold wondrous things this morning out of your word. And help us, Lord, not just to be hearers of your word, but to be doers as well, so that our profiting may appear to all men. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. So let's read together this morning from Galatians. We're just going to look at a couple of verses, but I'll encourage you to read the whole chapter. And also the preceding chapters in the book of Galatians. It is very interesting what Paul wrote to the church at Galatia in his days. And I tell you, it is very applicable to us in our days too. Because after Paul had gone there and given them the truth, some other preachers came to the church at Galatia and preached to them some wrong doctrines. And unfortunately, the people of Galatia believed the false preachers, and they turned away from the truth that Paul had given to them. And so when Paul heard it, he wrote to them and rebuked them for living the way of truth and going in the way of error that the enemy had come to entice them by. And you and I have to be careful in our days too, because there are so many false preachers out there, so many false prophets out there, and they speak words that are enticing, words that appear to make sense to the hearers, but those words are not of God. You have to be well grounded in the truth in order to ensure that you don't fall for the trickery of those false preachers, even as the church at Galatia did. And now, in Galatians chapter 3, let's read together verses 5 and 6. Let's go. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Amen. And if we just look in the first verse in chapter 3, we'll see the setting again, because, you know, Paul was rebuking the church at Galatia for living the way of wisdom, which is found in God, and turning to the foolish ways of the false preachers. So he said in verse 1 there, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ had been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now, where we are going this morning, again, is the aspect of our responsibility. There is only one responsibility God has given to us. Say to your neighbor, you don't need a long list of responsibility. There is just one thing on the list that God has given to us. Amen. And that one thing is belief. That's all. Belief. Just belief. God knows you and I cannot do anything in our own strength. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So there is only one requirement God has placed upon man, and that is to believe. And if we really look at it right from the beginning, because God never changes. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. When he made Adam, the only thing he demanded from Adam was for Adam to believe the instruction he gave to him and carry it out. That's all. Just believe, because if you believe God, you will obey him. You and I, as Bible says, need to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith. You don't need somebody to examine you to find out whether you are in the faith. You can check up on yourself to really know whether you are a genuine believer or a false believer. Because Jesus himself said there are genuine disciples and false disciples. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, he spoke to those Jews who converted to him, those Jews who became believers in Christ. Jesus said to them, if you, look at the condition, if you continue in my words, then are you my disciples indeed. That's the key, which means there are false disciples. So how do you know that you are a genuine disciple of Jesus? You continue in the word so that you can have faith in Jesus and live by the faith of Jesus. Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In other words, I'm a believer in Jesus and I'm living by that belief in Jesus. I live by his faith. I don't live by my own faith. I don't live by my own intellect. I don't lean on my own understanding. I just obey Jesus' instruction because I'm a believer in Jesus. So the way you know that you are a genuine believer is check up on yourself. Am I doing what Jesus says I should do? That's all. That's all. That's all. And so the only responsibility God has given to man is just to believe him. And after Adam disobeyed God, from generation after that, every generation, God will look for a man that will believe in him and obey him, and he will make friends with the man. He found Abraham in his generation and made friends with Abraham. He said, I know Abraham, that not only will he believe me and do my instruction, but he will also teach his children to obey me. You see the key? He said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. Just walk before me and be perfect. That's all. I will form my covenant with you. I'll be a friend to your friends. I'll be an enemy to your enemies. In other words, Abraham, you won't even need to fight against the enemy. I'll take care of them for you. You just obey me. Just trust me. Do what I tell you to do, and I'll take care of the rest. But you know, we unnecessarily complicate things for ourselves today. We come up with long lists. Oh, I have to take so many steps, and then we burden ourselves unnecessarily instead of just saying, well, all I need to do is believe God. That means I have to go into the scriptures day and night. That means I have to study the Bible to know what I need to believe. Because how are you going to believe if you don't even know the instruction that God wants you to live by? You have to study the word day and night. You have to meditate in it day and night. And then you get to know what God has said. And then you believe that and turn away from your own understanding and choose to be a doer of God's word as a believer. Because a believer is a person who does the word of God. Say to your neighbor, a believer is a person who lives by the word of God. Put your finger right there in Galatians chapter 3. Let's turn quickly to Romans chapter 2. You see, a believer is not just somebody who says, I'm a Christian. because it's easy to say I'm a Christian, but God's own definition of a believer is clear in Scripture. A believer is somebody who lives by the Word of God. You have to live by the Word. Jesus himself said, you know, quoting from what God said in Deuteronomy, when the tempter came to him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Not some of them. We don't choose and pick the one that is convenient for us, and then we leave the others and say, well, that's not convenient for me. No, we have to live by every word of God. The ones that rebuke us and the ones that encourage us. We just have to live by every one of them. Now, look at what God himself said here in Romans chapter 2. You see, the whole chapter is so very, very important. Well, we have to realize that what God is saying in a nutshell is that we just have to be doers of his word. All right. Now, let's drop down to verse 21. It says there, thou therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest, a man should not steal. Thou steal. Thou that sayest, a man should not commit adultery. Dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Now begin to pay attention now, because this is God's own assessment of us as his people, just as he was assessing the children of Israel in their own days. Because, you know, they boasted about the fact that they were children of Abraham. And Jesus rebuked them and said, well, if you are Abraham's children, you will do the works of Abraham. In other words, you will live as Abraham lived. You will obey God as Abraham obeyed God. You will believe God as Abraham believed God. But your ways are not the ways of Abraham. But you are claiming to be the children of Abraham. You see, it's not by birth. Just like, you know, saying I'm a Christian, it's not just a title, it is a responsibility. Now, it goes on, let's drop down to verse 28, and let us read that together. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of man, but of God. Hallelujah. Now, before we leave there, now let's go up to verse 13 and see in a nutshell what God is saying to us all in this passage of Scripture. Let's read that together. Let's go. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. In other words, it's not just saying, I've heard the word of God. It's not just saying, well, I studied the Bible day and night. If I'm not living by what I'm studying, I'm just fooling myself. God is not interested in me just studying the Bible. He's interested in me living by what is written there. And scripture upon scripture, turn with me also quickly to James. You know, James chapter 1. All that God wants of us is to believe him and act upon his word. If we don't know any other thing as Christians, if that's all we know, we've known everything. Because that will drive us to the Word of God day and night. No matter how busy we are, we'll spend time in the Word and say, I want to find out what God says I should do. And then I'm going to just choose to do it. That's all. I'm going to find out what God says I should do. And once I find that out, I'm going to do it. In the name of Jesus. I'm going to do it by the grace of God. You see. James chapter 1. Thank God for His truth. Now look at what God says again about His word. Again, it's talking to Christians. It's not talking to unbelievers. So don't let anybody fool you and tell you, well, it doesn't matter what you do as a Christian. You are living under grace. Well, if you are living under grace, you should actually be doing the word of God better than those who lived under the old covenant. Because they couldn't do it without grace. Now you have grace. You have to do it better than them. The reason why they couldn't do it was because they lacked the grace of God. That was why Jesus came to fulfill the word, so that now, through the grace of God, we can live in the same fulfillment of the word of God from Genesis to Revelation. There's no portion of scripture that has passed away, because Jesus said He hasn't come to abolish the law. In fact, He said anyone that teaches anybody to disobey any of the law, that person's name will be removed from the book of life. It's a serious thing, but again, in these last days, we hear many preachers teaching people wrong things and getting them to not do what is under the Old Testament, saying that is past, just do the new. No, that is false prophet. That is not the spirit of God. That's the spirit of error that has crept into the church to deceive many people who are unwise in the ways of God. Here, look at what Bible tells us. James chapter 1 verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness. Please underline the word meekness. If we don't have the meekness of heart, we cannot believe God. Because our minds will get in the way. That's why God says we need the meekness of heart. A meek heart is a heart that is submissive to the Lord. You don't need to even understand why God tells you to do it. Once you hear God say, sit down there, don't ask Him and say, why should I sit down? Just say, yes, sir. Praise the Lord. That's a meek heart. But a stubborn heart will be questioning with God. Why should I do that? Why? If you don't tell me why, I'm not going to do it. It's like Thomas Didymus. Well, I'm not going to believe. Unless I see for myself. Unless I feel for myself. Unless I touch for myself. And Jesus rebuked him and said, Thomas, you need to stop living like an unbeliever. That's my paraphrase. Okay, you want to touch? Come, touch. But understand this. You are only believing because of your own terms. But blessed are those who have not seen, but they believe. In other words, those who have that meek heart to just believe God, they don't need to understand why God tells them to do something. They just want to obey God. That's all. If God says it, praise the Lord. I don't need to know why. I will understand why later. Let me just do it now. Immediately. God says, sit down. Okay, sir. Here am I. Praise the Lord. And later you understand why God tells you to sit now. Just have that meek heart to receive the word of God and do it. So it says there again, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now, let's read verse 22 together. Let's go. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Well, it's talking to Christians here. So how come then some preachers are saying it doesn't matter what you do as a Christian? because you are living under grace. You see that that's not what the Bible says. God says we have to be doers of his word. If you are living under grace, then you'll be a doer of the word. Now let's hear what Jesus himself said. You see, once we understand this, our ways will become easier as Christians, because we then understand all I need to do is just believe God and do what he says. He will take care of the rest. I don't need to even worry myself about how to overcome this, overcome that. The moment I believe God, God will release his power to give me the victory in that situation. That's all. That's all. God is not asking you and I to do anything in our own strength, because the works were finished, Bible says, from the foundation of the world. Jesus finished the works for us. And he came to this earth to establish the finished work, and he hung on that cross and said, it is finished. In other words, all you need to do now is believe me and obey me. And everything I've already done for you, you will experience in me. Hallelujah. That's the best way to see it. We just have to understand that all these things, God has already taken care of them all for us. We don't need to worry about anything. We just need to understand that, okay, let us do what God says we must do. Praise God. Where are we now? Praise God. But we've moved on from James chapter 1. I said we should turn somewhere now. So you are not following. Praise God. You are not following me. I told you to turn to Matthew chapter 5. Did I not? All right. Okay. I beg your pardon then. Maybe I forgot to say it. All right. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5 and hear what Jesus himself said. It's good to pay attention to the word of God. See, there is something about the word. And once we understand the importance of the word of God and the authority of the word of God, we'll realize that as Christians, we're people of great authority in all the earth. We can speak the word of God over a situation, and those situations have no choice but to obey, because there's authority in the word of God. Bible says where the word of a king is, there is authority. And who may say to him, what doest thou? There is no devil that can resist the word. In fact, Bible says they believe the word and they tremble. But the problem is, we that say we are believers, we don't even believe the word like the devil believes it and trembles. We don't tremble at the word of God. We don't understand that, hey, this word is the power by which God created everything. And everything is subject to the word. So don't let the devil come and take from you what will give you victory in your life. By all his trickery in these last days, we are living in perilous times, and we need to really, really, really pay attention to all these things that the enemy is doing, and not allow him to get us to fall short of God's expectation concerning us. All right. Let's look at it from verse 17 so we can get it in a bit of context. Matthew chapter 5. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. See, every time you hear the expression in the Bible, the law and the prophets, is talking about, in a nutshell, the Old Testament, the first five books of Moses, and all the prophets that came before Jesus Christ. In other words, all of the Old Testament. That's what Jesus is saying here. I didn't come to destroy the Old Testament. I didn't come to destroy it. So don't let anyone tell you, well, the Old Testament has passed away. As I said before, you read the book of Acts, they quoted from the Old Testament so much, and the Holy Spirit moved in great power every time they referred to the Old Testament. So if the Old Testament passed away, how come the Holy Spirit is leading them into it again? In the early church, because they were led of the Spirit in the early church. So it says there, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now let us read verse 19 together. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Well, I don't know about you. I don't need to hear from any other person. Jesus himself has said it. He said, if anybody teaches anyone to break anything under the law or the prophets, that person becomes the least in the kingdom. But the person who teaches men to obey the law and obey the prophets is a great person in heaven. So if you hear any preacher tell you the Old Testament has passed away, just know that person is not speaking by the Spirit of God. Because Jesus himself said it hasn't passed away. We have to teach it. We have to teach all these things. You see, these people are hypocrites. You see, all those of them that say the Old Testament has passed away, before you know, they'll be quoting from the book of Psalms. They'll be praying Psalm 91 over their lives. And then you wonder, but you said the Old Testament has passed away. How come then you are quoting Psalm 91 as a prayer over your life? You have no business going there. It's under the whole Testament. You see, hypocrisy. That's why you have to know the truth for yourself. Don't let anybody fool you. Listen to Jesus. Don't listen to any man. Jesus is the one we are all following. Praise God forevermore. All right, now, let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. It doesn't matter what your need may be here this morning. Again, all you need to do is believe. God specializes in doing miracles. God specializes in doing something that looks impossible. But all that he wants from us is to believe him and do what he says to do. Just believe and do, and you'll be able to receive the miracle that God wants you to have in your life. That's just it. Just believe and do. And once we understand what Christians believe is all about, then we'll all set about doing it on a daily basis in all areas of our lives, and we'll walk in all the victory he has called us to walk in. So verse 5 again says, he therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit. The word minister there literally means to serve. In other words, the one who gives to us the Spirit. And the only one who gives to the church the Spirit is Jesus himself. Because John the Baptist said, well, men, I baptize you with water, but Jesus Christ, the one I told you about, whose shoe laces I'm not even worthy to unloose, he will baptize you with the Spirit. Why? Because he's the one that the Father gave the Spirit to without measure. You cannot get the Spirit of God from anywhere else apart from Jesus. You don't get the Holy Spirit from man. You get him from Jesus. So, this same Jesus that gives us of his own Spirit, how does he minister to us the Spirit that we need in order to have the power of God to overcome in all situations of life? That is the key. That is the key. All right, so how does he do it? Let's read on. Doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Please underline your Bible the expression hearing of faith. In other words, the way God ministers the Spirit to us, the Spirit who is able to do all things, including perform miracles in our lives, is by the way we hear the word of God and respond to it in faith. That's what it means, the hearing of faith, the attitude of obedience that shows that we really believe God. That's the way the Holy Spirit then moves on the scene to help us do what we can't do on our own. You know, many of us are waiting for the Holy Spirit. Many of us are waiting for God to do great and mighty things in our lives. But I tell you, God is actually waiting for us to do what he says to do. Let me give you the clue again with the early church. You know, Jesus told them, he said to them, don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father, which you are going to receive not many days from now. He didn't tell them the day. He didn't tell them the time. Again, that's responsibility. He just told them, wait. But what did they do? Bible tells us in the book of Acts that they all went into the upper room. Together with the women, all of them were there, day and night, in the word and in prayer. That was what they were just doing. They were in the word and prayer. They were in the word and prayer. They were in the word and prayer. They were in the word and prayer until suddenly the day of Pentecost came upon them in the upper room. And the Holy Spirit came and fell upon them and empowered them. But how did they get the supply of the Spirit? By obeying Jesus. By believing the instruction he gave to them and doing it. So they went and they were in the word and in prayer. And they got the Holy Spirit. And on that day of Pentecost, great and mighty things happened that made the whole land to understand that these people were special. Because they heard some miraculous things from their mouth. The languages they couldn't, you know, ever understand on their own. And extraordinary things that they couldn't do on their own. So this is the same way God supplies the Spirit to you and I in all areas of our need. Because without the Holy Spirit, we can't get anything done right. We can't overcome any situation, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. But for the Holy Spirit to come and help us, we have to have the hearing of faith. We have to. Why? Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without listening to the word of God, believing it, and carrying it out, God is not pleased. So he does not supply his Spirit to help us unless we do what pleases him. And look at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, how did Abraham believe God? That's where we are going this morning. No matter what your need may be, you need healing here this morning. You need breakthroughs here this morning. You need miracles in your life this morning. God is going to give it to you. Just do what Abraham did. You are Abraham's seed in Christ Jesus. Imagine, God even tells us, that's why I told you, read the old chapter of Galatians chapter 3. When you come to the end of that chapter, you'll find the Bible telling us that if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed. And you are an heir according to the promise. In other words, the promise God gave to Abraham, you become a partaker of it because in Christ Jesus, you are actually Abraham's seed. That's how powerful what Abraham did is. If we really understand it, just by believing God, he set in motion a perpetual blessing for all generations of humanity. Just because of his believing God. And doing what God told him to do. You see, many of us, when we come to the scripture and we hear the word believe, we just think, okay, all I need to do is just believe it. But what God actually means by believing is the kind of persuasion that makes you to act upon what you believe. Because if you believe and you don't do, as far as God is concerned, you are not a believer. But how can you say you believe me and then you don't do what I tell you to do? Jesus even said, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things I've commanded you? So a believer in the eyes of God is the one who takes the word of God and does it. That's a believer. But the one who says, well, I believe that by the stripes of Jesus I'm healed, but I'm not so sure that this sickness will go from my body. Well, you are not a believer as far as God is concerned. Because if you believe that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed, you are going to go about everywhere saying, praise God, I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Praise God, it is well with me. Praise God, I'm not going to die. I will live to declare the works of God. You just left the GP surgery. The GP told you they've discovered cancer in your body and you only have 1 month left to leave. You leave that place, all the way home, you say, praise God. Hallelujah, I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter. I believe God. Jesus took the cancer from me on the cross of Calvary. I'm free from cancer, praise God. I will not die. The GP is a man, it's not God. I believe the report of the Lord. I will not die. I will live to declare the works of God in the land of the living. The number of my days I will fulfill. Cancer, you will not kill me before my time. You are a liar in Jesus' name. Ah, God then says from heaven, I'm so well pleased with my son. Oh, hear how he's standing as a believer upon my word. Then he releases the spirit to me. Because that's the way it works. He that ministereth to you the spirit and worketh miracles amongst you, doeth he it by the hearing of the law or by the hearing of faith? It's one thing to know what the Bible says. It's another thing to believe it and act upon it. The key to success is to do the word of God. So if you are Christ, you are Abraham's seed, and you are here according to the promise. Now turn with me to James chapter 2. Let us see what Bible actually calls the belief that Abraham walked in that actually pleased God. And then I'll just say three key things before we pray this morning. And if you take these three key things with you all your days, never forget them. Keep them at your fingertips. They are just simple things that you and I do every day, which we need to pay attention to ensure that we don't miss the mark as believers. That's all. Just to help us. Just to help us. But look in James chapter 2. We'll see what Bible actually says about the kind of belief that Abraham had. Oh, I tell you, once we understand this, we won't let anyone fool us. I won't let any devil lie to us. We'll simply set ourselves in motion to walk in all the victory that already belongs to us. I want to say to every one of us here this morning, no matter what your need may be, God has already provided for you in Christ Jesus. It's not just about to provide for you when you have the need. He already provided for you even before you were born. God knew that you will fall sick on so-so-so day. He provided the healing for you already before the sickness came. God knew that you are going to be faced with challenges on so-so-so day in your life. He already provided the victory for you even before you were born. You just need to know what to do today to receive what God already provided for you. That's all. You are just to receive it, not to work for it, but to receive it. There's a difference between working for something. Because when you are working for something, then you are struggling in your own effort and you get frustrated. But when you receive by faith what God has given to you, you enter into rest and say, praise God. God is so good. Because you are going to testify all day long that this God is such a wonderful, faithful God. You are simply to receive what Jesus provided for you, not to work for it on your own. No, 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 no. You cannot work for it. I don't care how strong you and I think that we are spiritually. We can't make ourselves to be healed in our strength. None of us can heal ourselves. We can't even heal a fly. How much more heal ourselves? We can speak in tongues until we turn blue on our faces and the sickness will still be there looking at us this way. Because the only thing that will remove the sickness from our body is the power of the Holy Spirit. And God supplies it when we hear by the hearing of faith. And we believe. That's all. Now look at James chapter 2. This verse of scripture helps us. Please read the whole chapter. We don't have time to go through it all. But it is a very important chapter in the Bible that helps us to understand responsibility that we have when we say we are walking in faith. But I'm going to pick it from verse 20. It says, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. And if you read in Hebrews chapter 11, Bible refers again to this scripture, to what Abraham did when he took his son Isaac, just as God told him to take his son Isaac and go on a journey. You see, sometimes when we read some things in the Bible, we just wonder, but God, your ways are so different from our ways. I mean, if I was to tell somebody to offer their son, I'm already thinking that, well, it's a hard thing for them to do. I'll just tell him, just offer him in your backyard, so that at least the sorrow can be a bit lessened. But God told him to take his son, and he will have to travel on a 2-day journey to get to where he would offer him. God didn't even tell him where. He just said, I will show you, just go. Eventually, when he got there, but thank God for Abraham, because he was a believer, he acted on the word of God. He took his son, took some of his servants with him, took everything for making burnt offering. Even the boy was old enough, he was wise enough. Then he asked his father, he said, but we are going to offer sacrifice to God. I see every material for the burnt offering, but where is the lamb for the sacrifice? Look at how the man of faith began to speak. The Lord will provide himself a lamb for the slaughter. The boy must have been wondering. The Lord will provide. Okay, let's go on then. Then when he finally took the boy and tied him up, the boy must have been thinking, so I'm the lamb. I'm the lamb. But you see, he was submissive to his father. I'm the lamb. And Hebrews says that actually, Abraham believed in his heart that if he slew his son, God will find a way to bring him back to life. You need to read that in Hebrews chapter 11. That's the power of that man's faith and trust in God. That God told me that this boy is going to be my heir. I waited for him. Then God brought him miraculously through my wife Sarah, who was too old to have a child. And God said he will form his covenant with Isaac after me. And now this same God is saying I should kill this boy for him. That means he will bring him back to life somehow. Because God cannot fail where his promise is concerned. You see the power of faith? And God was simply testing Abraham's faith. Many times you and I fail the test of faith. It was just a test. And when the trial of our faith comes, we fail God. But Abraham didn't fail. And while he was about to kill the boy, God spoke to him from heaven and said, hey, stop. Now I see that you truly love me, Abraham, because you've not withheld your son from me. Say, surely in blessing I will bless you. In multiplying I will multiply you. You see God now rewarding him for his faithfulness. But when the trial of faith comes our way, we fail. So we miss out on the reward that comes only to those who believe and act on the word of God. Now let's read on. So we see, every time you read in the Bible, Abraham believed God. God counted it for righteousness. You have to understand the kind of belief God is talking about. It's not just to believe in the head and do something else. It's the kind of belief that is from a fully persuaded heart. In Romans chapter 4, Bible says Abraham did not stagger at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. That's what Bible calls belief. 100% of your heart, not 99%. Full persuasion. He believed that what God had promised, God is also able to do. And because of that, God counted it for righteousness. Now look at how he then acted his faith out in works. You see, there are works of faith, and that's what God has called us to do. Not our own works, in our own flesh, in our own ways. No. We are to do the works of faith, because when we do the works of faith, we are doing the works of God. God lives by his word. So, it goes on to say, in verse 22, seest thou how faith wrought with his works, And by works was faith made perfect. Now let's read verse 23 together. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So how was the scripture fulfilled? It was fulfilled when Abraham showed his faith by his works. When he believed God to the point of acting upon God's instruction. So say to your neighbor one more time, the way you show you are a believer is by doing what God says you should do. Amen. And that's the only way to please him. Amen. So God called Abraham his friend, not because Abraham climbed a mountain. No. Just because he obeyed God. He believed God enough to obey his instruction. Even though it didn't make sense to him. But he was willing to just do what God said to do. And that's all. And that's what you and I need to do always. Just be a doer of the word of God. And we will be able to experience what looks impossible. Please write these three things down. So, what I need to do to show God I'm a believer. In other words, what believing God will involve in my life personally on a daily basis. Number one, my thoughts. I have to think in line with the word of God, rather than leaning on my own understanding. A genuine believer thinks the thoughts of God. You see, God thinks thoughts too. Do you know that? God thinks thoughts. Isaiah chapter 55. We don't need to turn there, please. Look at it on your own from verse 9 to verse 11. God tells us his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. So God thinks thoughts. Now what thoughts does God think? His word. That's why he wrote the scriptures for us. God is helping us to enter into his thoughts. And enter into agreement with him so that we begin to think the same way. Because two cannot work together unless they be agreed. If I'm thinking this way and God is thinking that way, how can we go in the same direction? We have to think the same way in order to go the same way. Isn't that so? So I have to think in line with the word of God. For instance, when I'm sick in my body, instead of thinking about the sickness all day long, I should be thinking about the healing that belongs to me. You see the difference? Why? Bible tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If I spend all the day thinking about the sickness, if I spend all the day thinking about what the GP said, the sickness will grow worse in my body. Because every time I think about it, I give strength to the sickness. That's what the Bible says. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So I'm thinking thoughts of sickness, so sickness will overwhelm me. And yet I want to be healed. No, I can't be healed because I'm thinking thoughts of sickness. That's not what God is thinking about me. God is thinking in line with his word about me. He's thinking, by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. That's what God is thinking. So I have to enter into the thoughts of God as a believer. And begin to think the same way God thinks. Oh, when trouble comes your way, don't say, oh, God. Oh, why me? Because God is not thinking that way. God is thinking of me as an overcomer. God is thinking the same thing he said in his word, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Be strong and courageous. I am with you. I will help you. But I'm thinking about, oh, the devil is going to destroy me. So you see how we shortchange ourselves in simple ways because we are not vigilant and we are not alert. The first place you need to pay attention to in your life is your thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3 to 6. You read it again when you find time. Bible tells us that though we are in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. We do not use, carnal weapons. But the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. See, God didn't say some thoughts, every thought. So say to your neighbor one more time, the Christian life is a life of responsibility. So if God says I have to pay attention to every thought in my mind, to make sure I bring each one of them captive to the obedience of Christ, that means I have to pay attention to what I'm thinking. And you know, that's why the devil always comes to you and I in our thoughts every day. The mind is the battleground. That's where the devil fights against us. We have to understand that. If you are waiting to see the devil come into your room and then you see somebody with two horns and black eyes, you even know the devil is already there. Because already in the mind, feeding your mind with thoughts of failure, thoughts of fear, thoughts of, you know, not experiencing the will of God in your life. The devil is already there. And you have to hold every thought, every single thought in your mind, you have to bring it captive to the obedience of Christ. Who is Christ? The Word of God. So you have to bring every thought in line with the Word of God. So again, you can check up on yourself to see whether you're a believer. Just find out how you are thinking in that situation. That's all. And immediately you see that what you are thinking is not what God says, immediately change the thoughts. Like TV channel, change to another station. Just realize I'm at the wrong station. That's not God's station now. I should move away from this station in my mind and turn to where God is in His Word, and begin to think in line with the Word of God. Oh, praise God. No evil shall befall me. Praise God. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Praise God. I'm the healed and not the sick. It is well with me. Remember the woman whose son died? The woman didn't go weeping all the way to Prophet Elijah. No, that woman was saying, even to her husband, it is well. It is well. It is well. It is well. Why? Because she's believing God that God will bring that child back to life. And she's speaking like a believer. A believer speaks in line with the Word of God. A believer doesn't speak as the situation is. You know, the devil will tell you. In fact, you even hear some preachers say, well, just say it as it is. I beg to disagree. God never said you should say it as it is. God said, say it as I said it. You have to say it as God said it. My Bible tells me in Romans chapter 4 that God calls the things that be not as though they were. That's faith. You don't deny the fact that you are sick, but you don't call the sickness, because that's not what belongs to you. Healing is what belongs to you. So you begin to call the healing as though what you had was the healing. You begin to say, praise God, I'm healed. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. Because that's the only way you are going to get the power of God to remove the sickness from your body. Faith is the key to tapping into the power of the Holy Spirit for miracles in your life. So the number one thing is in your thoughts. Number two thing you need to do as a believer is to speak words of faith out of your mouth. You see, in Proverbs chapter 18, Bible says that what we say out of our mouths is what is going to fill up our lives. You've read that before? Proverbs chapter 18 from verse 20 and 21. It said, the belly of a man, in other words, the center of that man's life, will be filled with the increase of his lips. In other words, what is coming out of your mouth will fill your life up. That's why the devil puts pressure on us to say the wrong thing. We are snared by the words of our mouth. You go about saying, I'm sick, and you want to be healed? You can't be healed. What you are saying is snaring you more and more. The devil will tell you, you see, your grandfather died of the sickness. Your father died of the sickness. It runs in the family. So you are the next in the line to die. Then you go about saying that and telling everybody your father died of the sickness, so you have it too. And then you want to be healed? No. You have to begin to say what God says. I'm the healed and not the sick. Jesus set me free. I'm free indeed. I belong in a new family now. I belong in the family of God. The family where there is no sickness or disease. I don't care about the natural family I came from. Now I belong in God's family. I'm a child of God. My father has no sickness. I inherited the genes of my father. My father is God. He has no sickness in his body. Praise God, I'm healed. I'm whole. It is well with me. That's how you should be speaking. Because when you do that, then he that ministereth to us the Spirit and worketh miracles among us, because it's pleased with our ways of it, will supply the Spirit to us in that situation to take care of the need. That's the way God works. Galatians chapter 3, verse 5. And finally, number three thing you need to do is to act in faith, in line with the word of God. Again, think thoughts of faith in line with the word of God. Second, speak words of faith in line with the word of God. And finally, act in faith in line with the word of God. We read a short while ago from James chapter 2, our Bible teaches us how Abraham showed his faith by his works. He did actions of faith. Now let me give you a practical thing to help you in that situation. Now, if for instance I'm sick and then I'm lying on my bed and then I'm there on that bed and resting and resting and resting, and after resting a while I feel like getting up, and then the devil says, well, if you get up, you know you can die. Because if you get up, you can fall down and die. And I say I'm a believer, and I just obey the devil, and I stay more in the bed there. And I'm saying, God, heal me, raise me from the bed of affliction. And God in heaven is saying, where is your faith? Show me your faith. Show me your faith by your action. People who are healed don't lie down in the bed all day long. They get up out of the bed. So take this step of faith to show me that you believe you are healed. And I will do the rest. But we don't listen to him. We just stay in the bed. And we just stay in the bed. Someone says, I feel too weak. Well, God knows you are weak. God knows everything better than you. He knows you are weak. He just wants you to take a step of faith. Well, I'm weak. Well, try to just move your body a little bit. Even if you need to drag yourself a bit to the edge of the bed, then God sees that you are making the effort of somebody who gets out of bed. Then suddenly the power of the Holy Spirit will hit you. And strength of God will flow into you, and you'll get the strength to get out of that bed. And when your feet touches the ground, it's like, wow. What just happened to me now? Praise the Lord. Well, the Spirit has been there all along, waiting for you to act like a believer. Act like a believer. Because if you say you are a believer and you are acting like an unbeliever, the Holy Spirit can help you. He's the Spirit of faith. At least do something. Make an effort. For instance, if your hand is paining you, and then you are there, and then you hold the hand like this all day long. Oh, my hand is paining me. And then you want everybody to pity you. Oh, my hand is paining me. Don't touch it. Oh, don't touch it. It is sore. It is sore. It is very sore. You see, I'm sick like a parrot. Just leave the hand. Don't touch it. Well, believers, don't talk that way. Believers say, praise the Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. There is pain in the hand, but praise God. People who are healed of pain, they make effort to raise the hand. I'm going to make the little effort I make. Look at me. I may not even be able to do more than this. That's all I can do. I can't do all of this initially. But God is waiting on my step of faith. And when he sees me just make the effort, power of the Holy Spirit hits me immediately. In Luke chapter 5, when you get home, please read it. We see the account in the Bible from verse 17 of when Jesus was in the room preaching. And Bible says the power of God was present to heal them. And people had come from various places and packed that room full, to the point that there was no way for anybody else to come into the place. And power was present to heal them, Bible says. Yet not one of them got any healing. Why? The power was there to heal all of them. But they had no faith. And I'm sure many of them had different kinds of sickness, but they had no faith to receive. Until those friends brought their paralyzed friend and they tried to get in through the door. They couldn't because the place was full. And they went through the roof. They lowered their friend in to that room in front of Jesus. And you know what I love in that passage of scripture is Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. You see, faith has works, you see. You know, some of us who are lazy Christians, if we try to get into a place like that, we don't get, we tell our friends, say, well, you know, we've tried enough. We try to get you to Jesus, you see. There's no room. So we try another day. Even that, and we'll feel justified. We say, but you see, what else do you want us to do? We even rebuke you. I say, ah, we can't kill ourselves over all this. We've tried, we carried you. Even my shoulder is paining me. I've carried you all day long. You are too heavy, sir. We rebuke him a bit. Say, what do you want us to kill ourselves? We say, we've done our part now. We'll try another day. But you know what the devil will do? When you say you try another day, the devil heard you. He will kill the man on the way home. He will make them drop him. And then he will die. Bible says, today is the day of salvation. God didn't say leave it to tomorrow. The day you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. So stop putting things forward in your life. Just say, praise God, today I'm a believer. I believe I'm healed today. Don't say, I believe I'll be healed one day. Well, Jesus already healed you. He healed you over 2,000 years ago. Receive it by faith today and act like a believer. Do something that will show Jesus that you have faith, because he wants to see the works of faith. He wants to see the works of faith. Act like a believer. If you believe that God is going to help you in the trouble you are in, then don't sit down all day long thinking about the trouble. You are not showing Jesus your faith. Because if you believe that God is going to help you about the trouble, then you shouldn't have sleepless night over it. People who believe that God helps them in their trouble are no longer troubled by the trouble. That's the key. You see, you have to show your faith by your works. James chapter 2 says, don't say I have faith. Well, show me your faith by your works. You have to show God that you are a believer by how you behave. And God will take care of the rest. God will take care of the rest. Let's go back to Galatians chapter 3. So whatsoever your need here this morning, you need healing, you need breakthroughs, you need help in any area of life. It's the same principle of believing and acting on the word of God. Faith is all that God is looking for. In your life and in my life, God knows we can't do it on our own. He alone can help us. Apart from him, there is nothing we can do. And that's why he has brought his Holy Spirit to help us. Even when we need miracles, the Holy Spirit is able to perform miracles in our lives. It was the same Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary and made her to conceive a child without knowing a man. It was the same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead and took him to heaven. And Bible says, if that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised Christ from the dead will also quicken your mortal body by that same spirit. But you see, you have to believe. He is the spirit of faith. He's waiting on you to believe. And he will do the rest. Galatians chapter 3 and 1:1. Now, before we pray in agreement, I want you to take that scripture personally now. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 5, and turn to God. You know your need. Someone else may not know what you need here this morning. But I know God knows your need, and he knows my need. And the power of God is present here to heal every one of us and to help us in all our situation. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. We don't need to see a sign before we know God is here. God keeps his word more than you and I do. He is faithful to his promises. So he is here. So the power that we need to help us in all our situation is here this morning. And he just wants our faith. That's all. He wants our faith. So I want you to look at that scripture and turn your attention to God and look in your heart and look in your thoughts as we have shared. Perhaps you've been thinking negative thoughts about the situation. Just ask God to forgive you. You see, when we realize we've been doing something wrong, we have to ask God for forgiveness. We have to, so that we can be restored in that area of our lives. Just ask God to forgive you if you've been thinking thoughts that are contrary to his word in that area of your life. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry for not thinking thoughts that are in line with your word. I've been thinking as an unbeliever. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. And it doesn't take 1 minute to pray that prayer of, you know, confessing your sin to God. Because Bible says God is faithful. When you confess it, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So as you confess it, you know, just thank God that you receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus from all those wrong thoughts that are not in faith. And also, if you have been speaking out of your mouth words that are not in line with faith concerning that area of your need, just ask God to forgive you. I say, Father, I'm sorry for the wrong utterances I've been making about my situation. Oh Lord, heal my tongue, oh God. Heal all the negative things I've spoken. In the name of Jesus, cleanse me from all those unrighteousness in Jesus' name. And also, if your actions have not, you know, been that of faith, just ask him to forgive you. That's all you need to do. And now turn to him and thank him as it is written. Let's read verse 5 again together. He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles amongst you, doeth he it by the work of the law or by the hearing of faith? So now turn to God and say, Father, I hear with the ears of the learned. I hear your word and I believe it with all my heart. 100% with all my heart, I believe that what you said, you are more than able to do. I believe that I'm healed of this sickness, no matter what the GP said. I believe that I have the breakthrough in this situation, no matter how difficult it looks. I believe that I have deliverance out of all these afflictions, no matter how many of them I have in my life. Because you said in your word that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but you deliver him out of them all. I believe your word with all my heart. And I thank you for the supply of the Holy Spirit to help me in Jesus' name. So go ahead and talk to God in that light. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Someone says, boy, that's too easy. Yes, that's the way of faith. You need to read in your Bible. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3, those who have believed, they enter into rest. They enter into rest. And then it goes on further down to say, they cease from their own works. Because see, you realize there's nothing you can do apart from Jesus. So there's no point in me trying to do it. I can't do it. Jesus is the only one that is going to do it. So I believe Jesus and I rest in him. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. There is a rest for us as the people of God. God has not called us to try to solve our problems because we cannot solve them. He alone has the power. That's why the Holy Spirit has come to help us. And he needs our faith. That's all. He just wants us to have faith and rest in God. So thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God that you received the supply of the Holy Spirit. You received the supply of the Holy Spirit. You are not going to try to do it on your own. You received the supply of the Holy Spirit to heal you if it's healing you need this morning. To give you breakthroughs if it's breakthroughs you need this morning. To deliver you out of all afflictions, if this deliverance you need this morning, out of those afflictions of life, whatsoever they need. Thank God for the supply of the Holy Spirit. Because with that supply comes the grace that you need in that situation. Thank God that you receive it. Blessed Holy Spirit, we thank you for your move in this place, even at this point in time. Thank you that you behold every one of us and the children in the upper room. We are believers here this morning. We believe with simple childlike faith. With meekness of heart, we believe in you as the God who performs all things for us. And there is nothing too hard for you. The things that are impossible with men, they are possible with you. So we take the limits off of you this morning. You said in your word that if we can believe, all things, not some of them, all things are possible unto him that believes. We confess that you are not a man that you should lie. Neither are you the son of man that you should repent. If you have said it, you will do it. If you have spoken it, you will make it good. And so, precious Holy Spirit, we just receive you into every need here this morning to minister the help to everyone under the sound of my voice at every point of need. And we give all the glory to you, dear Heavenly Father. For not unto us be thy glory, but unto thy name we give it all. For thine alone is the kingdom, thine alone is the power, and thine alone is the glory, forever and ever and evermore. Thank you for the testimonies that you give to your people for your own glory. For the fullness of the joy of everyone here this morning. Thank you that you are our miracle working God. And we bless your holy name. Now lift your hands to him and thank him. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Thank him, thank him, hallelujah. Kroste previgi higiado suni. Thank you, thank you. Oh mighty one, we praise you. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Just keep thanking him. Keep thanking him. Keep thanking him. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We bless you. Oh, thank you. Thank you for touching your people here this morning with your divine touch. To minister to everyone of the abundance of the kingdom of heaven here on earth. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you. We praise you. We praise you. Let's rise to our feet this morning before we receive the elements of communion. We're just going to sing this song in faith. We're just going to sing it, I tell you, as we partake of the body of Jesus and his blood. We are identifying with him. We are receiving the life he brought for us. He came to give us what we need to overcome what the devil has come to do. In John chapter 10 verse 10, he said, "The thief cometh not but for to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I am come that you might have life." You see, he wants you to have life that will overcome all that the enemy is doing. Life overcomes sickness. Life overcomes disease. life of God overcomes every problems and afflictions, because that life is divine life. Lift your hands to Him and sing with me that song, Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. And then, Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Believers receive from God, because faith receives help from God. Faith connects with the anointing that perfects us all. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. One more time, lift your hands to Him and sing it. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Now, Lord, I receive. So receive help from Him by faith. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Lift your hands to Him as someone that is receiving. Stretch forth your hands to Him as a show of your faith that you are receiving from the hands of the Lord this morning. And sing it again. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Amen. Now lift your other hand and thank Him. Thank Him, because when we receive, we have to thank God. We receive by faith, we thank Him in faith, because we know we receive. We know we receive, because it is the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom. No good thing will He withhold from them who walk uprightly. God will not withhold any good thing from any one of us, His children. But He needs our faith in order to be pleased with us, and to supply the Spirit to us to help us in those areas of need. So let us give Him what He needs on a daily basis, in our thoughts, in our speech, and in our action. May God help us day by day, in Jesus' name. In that same attitude, we are going to receive the elements of communion. Jesus Christ came to give us life, life more abundantly. And before He left this world, He gave us this ordinance to do always in remembrance of Him. He said, as often as we eat of the bread and drink of the cup, we are showing His death until He comes. And you and I, as people of Christ, we are one with Him. Bible says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. And He Himself told us while He was here on earth, He said, He is the vine, we are the branches. So there is a connection with Him. which means we can receive of his life every time we walk by faith. Every time we walk by faith, we can receive the flow of life from Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit has come to live in us. Jesus said it is expedient for him to go so that the Spirit might come to be in us. He is in you, he is in me. And every time we stir our faith, the Holy Spirit in us connects us with the blessings that Jesus purchased for us on the cross of Calvary.